morning.
Good morning.
Today our scripture comes from Titus 3, 1 through 8. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the people of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Thanks be to God.
Amen. You rock for Jesus, brother. Yeah. I want to read like you. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word that you bring to all of us today. May you be the one who speaks to us and through us, and may you inspire us to be able to grow in our faith. In your name we pray. Amen. We are in this season about learning, where are we rooted? We talk about many things that we are, the influence that makes us be who we are. And as United Methodist Church, we have specific about them. One of them has been about that we have the religion of the heart. And again, Wesley is using some of these terms that you never think they can come together in the same statement. A religion and heart looks like impossible. But what Wesley is telling us in this is that we have a religion of the heart, but it's in Christ, transform us and empower us. It's the mix of understanding things, but those things also transform our feelings and our emotions especially, and that makes us act through that. And that's something we're going to be talking about a little bit today. Another thing we have learned is about his grace. If there is a place where we can understand grace, it's about who we are in our denomination. We understand that prevenient grace that is working in your heart even before you are aware. Then that justifying grace, when you get it, that specific act of love from God is not something that you see far away, but now it's part of your own story. And after that, we talk about sanctifying grace. We are called to grow. This is an exciting place for all of us as Christians. God didn't call us just to say, you know, let me just check, I am saved, and that's all what I need to worry about it. No, we are called to grow. We are called to be challenged, to get out of our comfort zone so that we can thrive in life and we can bring others to be able to experience the beauty of that grace of God. Last week, also, we talked about two words that we cannot believe they come together, but Wesley puts them together, and it is that we are looking to have a life of holiness. What does it mean to be holy? And many times we can think it's something to be restrained or we need to move more like in a limit place, but actually for Wesley, it was the opposite. If you are holy, you are unleashed. You are free. You're able to go out and be able to serve in amazing ways. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do great things. Yes, during this week, I had the opportunity to listen to Liz Taylor, who's a member of this church. Many of us know her story. When there was this, the virus, the Nile virus, you remember that several years ago? There were two cases that started in here. One of the cases, that person died. The other one survived, and that's Liz Taylor. And we saw her going all the way to a point of a coma and coming back. And right now, she's the one who brings all these cookies and goodies on Wednesdays to all of us. But I was sitting with her, and she told me, I'm reading the scripture. I read the whole Bible already. And I'm learning that if I know the scripture ahead, when I need to confront difficulties in life, then I'm prepared. I'm prepared to be able to respond in a way that is healthier. That is holiness. Holiness is to learn to be prepared, to have our spirit, our mind, our behavior in a place that when we need to deal with things in life, we know how to respond. And not just that, but also this is part of who we are as United Methodists. But now, I also wanted to talk about something that is very important for all of us. As we can see here in all of these people who are playing the other football, you know, You know, right, Michael? Can you say amen? All right. Okay, so the other football, but one of the things that happens with any football or any sports, the more I'm learning, I'm looking about the different players, we have learned something about them. We have learned that they can have the best physical shape, they can do wonderful things as players, but is that enough? Is just to be a good player, is that enough? Having good stamina, is that enough? And you keep looking at these wonderful, amazing people with a lot of talent, but then they get in a life that is kind of not the best choices and end a career that could be successful, but ends just short because of a lack of being wise on the decisions they take. So after you see that, then you realize that there are two different things that are important for a good player of any kind of game. And it is that they need to have a healthy character, but also they need to be in good fitness. These two, character and fitness, is also something that we are called as Christians to have. Character and also that who you are will be able to reflect in how you act. Now, we don't call it in the United Methodist Church character and fitness. What we call it for all of us is that faith and good works. And as Christians, we call it faith and good works. What does that mean? It means that what we are reflects in every action that we take. Now, if a good player has the character, has all the different training, and he has been able to mature on that, and he doesn't play, does it make sense? Will you have your best player sitting there in the bench just because you wanted to do that? That doesn't make sense. You put your best player in the game because it's prepared. So it is for a specific use, for a specific purpose. We have character as Christians through the transformation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just for us to be sitting in the bench. It's for us to be able to serve. Now, those who have that character and fitness, they are the ones who end in those places of really biggest challenges because they are capable. Maybe you disagree who is right now in the Super Bowl. My husband is very sad, as you can see with his chief shirt. But regardless of that, we can say that the players who are right now going to play in a few hours are really good players. It is the same thing with us as Christians. This church has excellent players. This was just last Wednesday on our ESL classes. When this happens, the transformation, it goes beyond you imagine. Many of these people have come to learn English as a second language. And through that, they have been able to get a better job. One of the ladies that we had, I think I told you this a few days ago, she came to our ESL for several years. And after that, now she went and found a job at Northeast Independent School District. But then she came back here and she told us, I want to serve you because of the way that you bless my life. So that's the kind of transformation that happens. But always we remember, this is about projecting who we are to others, because it is through that we also project the love of God to others. As you can see, anyone who's playing a game needs to understand the strategy. What's that strategy? As Christians, we also have that strategy. And I love this one that we call it the Wesleyan premise. This is in our Rio, Texas website. This is really cool. For sure, Mickey wrote it. Right, Mickey? You did this one? I'm sure you did it. Because this is really well done. I love it. I never saw it like this. But this is how we as Methodists, and especially as Christians, we see our lives. First of all, we see our way of salvation. Who is the way of our salvation? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes and conquers our hearts through this grace, as we talked before, that justifying grace, the prevenient justifying and sanctifying grace. It is through that way of salvation that we are transformed. But because of that, we get in mission. Because of that, we cannot just sit down. It is impossible. If really you and I have a connection with God, nothing can stop you. Because that love is conquer you. I probably have shared with you before. I remember the day that Abel gave me the ring and told me that he wanted to marry me. And I thought, are you sure, brother? I mean, there is nothing normal in my life, as you can see. And I remember that I was so excited about that. When that happened in Wilmore, Kentucky, in that little town, and we were in seminary. And I remember wearing my ring, and I went to Walmart, and I wanted just to hug everybody and say, I'm engaged. And I'm like, they're going to think this Mexican is crazy. And I was. But it's like nothing could stop me because I was so excited, and I was so in love with this big, big gringo that I mean, even with all the instruments, it was okay, you know. So I was just so excited about that. So what I learned with that is when we are empowered by that love, when we're empowered in our identity as Christians, nothing can stop you. So our mission, guys, is not about bringing something new. Our mission is just to proclaim the transformation that has happened to you. And what happened to you? Just for one moment, think, what if Jesus wasn't in your life? What if what you deal in life was done in your own? What if the resources that you have to deal with life were limited to just what you can see? How far can we go? But you see, when we understand the life, the transformation, the meaning that God brings to us, how that mission can be empowered. But not just that. This is the beautiful thing. This also has something else. It's a formation. When you are serving, you are changing. Do you get that? You are a better person after you have done something. And it is not because of what you have done, that result, that's great, but also it's because your life gets transformed. One of the things I'm excited is what is happening with the youth in Liberia. What happened here yesterday, Carly? Praise the Lord. I mean, we had all this place just full of people, all of us trying to support Liberia, to send these youth to go to Liberia, to send high school students to Liberia. Do you get that? This is a formation for them. These youth are going to come different after this impact of their lives, because after you are connected in the ministry of God, things change. And that's what we expect of everyone, that formation comes and change our lives and our own values. Why do we need this? Because sometimes we can get confused. And what we receive as the culture and what's important for the culture to lead our lives is not sometimes the best resource for all of us to follow. For example, in this letter that we read today, can you help me to pronounce this guy again? Titus is one of the hardest because I learned it in Spanish and I keep saying Titus. So Titus. Well, in the season of Titus and during the time when he wrote this letter, the challenges were that people were lying. Actually, where he was in Crete, in that island, it was a synonym to say, oh, you are from Crete. It was a synonym to say, oh, you're a liar. They were so bad. And they were doing some things that was called syncretism. Do you know that meaning of that word? I have taught that word to you before, guys. You know, so we're going to preach that sermon again. I'm just kidding. No, but syncretism means the mix of religions. So what happened is they heard about Jesus, and then they were mixing that with Zeus, and that's that picture of that god Zeus, and they were mixing that as a truth, but it's actually a mix. And then on the other hand, they had all these teachers coming to try to tell them how the gospel was, but they were very confused. So Titus needed to come to that island and start clarifying to them and say, guys, your relationship with God, it's important, but it's important for all of you guys who are getting that you proclaim that to the community so they understand how does this look. That was during that time of Titus. Now, during the time of Wesley, the challenge was different. During his time, this is a picture I took of one of you guys in here. I'm just kidding. we don't have pews, as you can see. It is, what Wesley was struggling is that lukewarm faith. You know what I'm talking about? You know, like, you know, you're Christian on Sundays, but the rest of the week you take it free kind of thing. So Wesley needed to really explain to those who were Christians, you need to show to the community what it means to be a Christian by your actions. Now, what's our problem today? Is it our problem, the lies or the lukewarm? I think our problem today is this. We're becoming a very self-centric culture. Everything is about me. Everything is about what makes me comfortable. Everybody needs to think as I'm thinking. Everybody needs to agree in what I, and if you do not agree with me, you're gonna know here or in Facebook, and I get nasty, you know? If it's not in my way, there is no way. That's kind of where we're going. This is 100% against the two commandments that we have as Christians. That is, love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And the second one, love who? Your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. We shift that. We're loving ourselves, every now and then the neighbor, and if we remember, we love God. And that makes an impact in the way we live. So we are dealing with this. How can we solve this? How can we make an impact in this reality? Or perhaps if we study our heart, maybe we are there. We're concerned about ourselves. Now, don't take it wrong if you're noticing that you think a lot about yourself. Probably what is happening to you is what we call self-preservation. Through different circumstances, maybe you have been attacked, maybe you have been hurt, maybe society has been unfair to you to the point that you're gonna say, you know, I'm not gonna let anyone else hurt me anymore. I'm tired of that. And if you are that, makes sense. I'm not blaming you on that. But what I want to invite you is to take a step of trust right now. Because if you stay there, you're going to sink. Because you are trying to gain the resources of your restoration in your own. But God is coming and telling us something different. The way we restore our lives is different. And it is through this process, the process of faith and works. Through that, we become agents of transformation in our own culture. It's about changing what we find in this place. And this is where we understand that we are not about avoiding our culture, but we stay with our culture with the purpose of transformation. We are not called to be isolated. God is not about saying, you know, now that you find Jesus, just get far away. What happened when Christians were gathering and they wanted just to stay in themselves? That something happened in that group that they needed to get all over the place. It's the same. God is not going to allow us to stay comfortable because then we don't grow. So here is where we rely on this formula again. We go back to the way of salvation, the mission, and the formation. But what does it mean? It means, first of all, that we need to remember who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture is special. And for you, if you are in that place of thinking in yourself as self-preservation, I want you to hear this. It says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appear, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. You see, this is a special text. And sometimes we think a lot on those two words, kindness and love. However, the most important aspect on this text is not there. It's that how this kindness and love has been expressed. This kindness and love has been expressed by what? God, our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming to reach you where you are. So if you are right now in that me place because of fear, I want you to hear today that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to come and invade your me and tell you, my love is bigger than your me. I want to invade your me so you understand that you are more than this. I want to invade your me to clean, to restore, and to give you power through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want to invade your me to heal you and to see the power that you have through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to invade that so you can be able to go and proclaim to others the love of Christ. The scripture also says, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's that place of transformation. I love what this lady says here, Jenny Pietz. She says, Christ's gift of salvation gives us a new start and the power to live as healthy, social human beings. You see that? That means you and I have the power to transform the community where we are. How do we do that? And that's the next part that we have been talking about. It is through those good works. The scripture says, the saying is trustworthy. And I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to what? Good works. Good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. This is what we are. The question that we have is, our actions, do they help or hinder our God-given mission? That's the question that we need to ask constantly. When I'm at work, is my action here helping me or are getting in the way on the mission that God gave me? Is the way I behave at my work, in my family, with those who are difficult to deal with, how do I behave? How with those that I need to sometimes confront challenges, how do I interact with them? How does people know me as that person who's bringing peace and the person that is bringing some the love of Christ or the person that is bringing conflict? So today, I want to invite you to let the love of God, His mercy, His kindness, invade your me. And after you are invaded from that me, then go and do good works. Go and show to the world what and how is a Christian. Be an ambassador of the kingdom. And by that, let's transform the United States. Amen.